Hi, Lauren. It's Thane Maynard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. And naturally, I'd love to talk about your great book called Eat Up, The Inside Scoop on Rooftop Agriculture.
Yes, wonderful.
I have to imagine you've had a good response to it because there's such a growing interest, particularly in urban areas, for using
that's
small
true.
Spaces to grow organic plants.
Yes, that's very true. It's been pretty popular so far. There's definitely a growing interest in rooftop agriculture all over North America.
You know, my daughter lives in Brooklyn, and I've visited some restaurants there where they do the most creative use, you know, that most people would say, well, I don't know what we could do with that. But they create different angled plots, and I guess the structure's enough to hold it. I always worry with the water and the soil, are these roofs strong enough?
Oh, yes. No, the systems can be pretty heavy, so it's really important if anybody's thinking about building a rooftop farm on their building to check with a structural engineer just to make sure that everything's sound.
But that idea also, some of what you do is transferable to people that might just do raised boxes, even if they're not on the roof. They could be on a deck or on a porch or even out in the yard. But this idea of a smaller space but intensively gardened, I'm sure among what some people might ask is, gosh, that space isn't very big. Is it worth the trouble?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can grow quite a bit of food, actually, in small spaces on rooftops just as you can on the ground. Some people are even exploring the idea of rooftop greenhouse hydroponics, and that's how you can really get the highest yields in a small amount of space.
I know at the Cincinnati Zoo where I work, we're also a botanical garden, and we're starting to do some hydroponics and some containerized growing. And you're right, if you do it right and you change it over the seasons, you can get a great deal of yield, both with plants and animals.
Yes, no, that's very true. And I think that it's important for people to remember that each type of production, whether it's hydroponics or raised beds, row farming, containers, there's different benefits that you get from each type of production. So you have to figure out what's right for you and then pursue that.
So in your experience, are there either great case studies where you'd say, no matter what, you got to see this one, or particular types of crops where you say, well, it's easier for a beginner to succeed with this rather than to start with the hard ones?
Sure. Well, you know, a great rooftop farm to look at is Eagle Street Rooftop Farm, which is in Brooklyn in the Greenpoint neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually the first rooftop row farm around. And they've been really successful in growing hot peppers, actually. So that's their premier crop.
Mm-hmm. And peppers, even I've grown peppers, so I know they're relatively foolproof.
Mm-hmm.
So one like that, as a good example, what would they do with their produce? Would it end up in restaurants?
So Eagle Street has a relationship with several restaurants around Brooklyn. They deliver their produce to these restaurants on bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, that they run through their farm. And also they sell through a farm stand.
That's neat. You know, for folks that are listening, if they haven't been to Brooklyn lately, I'll tell you that is worth a trip, particularly this time of year, because you could see these kinds of things. And as you said, just farmers markets. And a few years ago, the first time I went there, I thought, there's a farmer's market in Brooklyn? Because I had this mythological Brooklyn in my mind that it was, you know, immigrant grandmothers and everything. But, of course, they've moved on, and now it's 5 million people in their 20s and 30s. And it is a very, very food-oriented borough, no doubt.
Yes, absolutely. People love their food in Brooklyn. They want it to be fresh. They want it to be as local as possible. And, hey, you can't get more local than your own roof.
Absolutely. So how does someone, if someone's listening and they're saying, you know what, we've got some space on a relatively flat part of a building, how do we get started on this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that step one is certainly speaking with a structural engineer just to make sure that your roof is strong enough to support the loads.
Mm-hmm.
Other sort of early on considerations are thinking about access. How are you going to get up to the roof safely? And also what the parapet or railing condition is around the perimeter. So you want to make sure that you're doing everything legally. You want to check with local building codes to see if you're allowed to grow food commercially in a certain area, if that's what you're interested in. And then after that, you want to try to find a green roof designer, landscape architect, all these folks who specialize in food roofs to make sure that you're doing everything smartly.
You know what's so great about the way you described it, though, and I know that you're a trained landscape architect. To be honest, some of the ones I've seen on roofs in Brooklyn above restaurants look a little more like a 1970s commune with some old cedar 2x12s, and here we go. But, you know, on the other hand, they're not really open to the public, so they don't have to be you know, super safe, like say something we might do in our botanical garden and the public visits. But nonetheless, I think you're correct. A good way to start is to make sure long term it's both legal and safe. Now,
yes, absolutely, especially if you're building it to last for the long term. If you're just goofing around on your own roof, there's a little more flexibility and a little more experimentation that I think is widely acceptable.
So one of the questions I often think of when I see, you know, say here's a restaurant and you look around the restaurant and there's 100 people in there eating and they're there every night, and you think, how much food are they actually getting out of this, you know, if you will, rooftop farm? Because the roof is basically the same, you know, square footage as the restaurant itself, even though it might be a floor or two below. So is it worth the effort to grow just some of their food? Because obviously they can't grow all their food.
Right, absolutely. What most restaurants who have rooftop farms or gardens, most of what they do is they grow specialty crops on the roof. So they grow a lot of, you know, hardy things that are easy to grow, like certain kinds of herbs. And then also they grow things like specific cultivars of heirloom tomatoes that maybe they can't find anywhere else. And so they grow these hyper local, hyper delicious crops on their roofs that they're able to use to attract people to the restaurant because it's just so delicious.
Don't you love that time in the summer when tomatoes are at their peak? And like you said, some of those sweet, darker heirloom tomatoes, man. And that part makes sense because you can grow a lot of tomatoes in a relatively small space. Now, a funny story you might get a kick out of is at our zoo, we have a lot of animals that eat produce as well. And one of the biggest produce eaters is the Florida manatee. So we have a farm north of town and we try to grow enough romaine lettuce for them. But we have two of them and they each eat 100 pounds a day of romaine lettuce.
Oh my goodness.
So clearly we can't grow it all because after a few days, you've run through quite a bit of lettuce.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing amount of food. You know, one of the reasons why restaurants in particular are interested in rooftop agriculture is for the marketing potential. If you want to build a restaurant and show people how sustainable you are, a great thing to do is grow your own food. And if you don't have the space on the ground to do it, a lot of people are starting to use the roof. And, it, you know, if they're marketing it properly, it really draws people in. It's something really different and, you know, you can't get any fresher.
Well, and local food, fresh food is so much better than what not long ago almost every restaurant offered, which was just, you know, a big old food truck squirting stuff out of the back. Now, tell us a bit about apiaries. I know in your book you talk about keeping bees on rooftops. Is there a risk in that? Do you need a special permit in the city to bring a bunch of honeybees?
You know, every city has different rules about that. Honeybees were just legalized in New York City a few years ago, and so they're becoming really popular there. I live in Philadelphia, and we have rooftop apiaries around the city. There are some really interesting companies who actually keep their apiaries on roofs and produce an unbelievable amount of honey to sell throughout the city. And, you know, a lot of honeybees, in particular the European honeybee, which a lot of people use for beekeeping, they're a canopy dweller, so they're used to living up high.
And they are not, in fact, nearly as eager to sting people as myth has it. A distant relative, a predatory wasp called the yellow jackets, another story. We get a lot of those.
That's true.
We get those in our area in late summer and early fall, and they can be tough, but honeybees usually not so much. They're actually good to have around and certainly good for local pollination, so any farmer would love to have them.
Yes, and it's important to have pollination on your rooftop farm as well. So if you are thinking about growing a substantial amount of vegetables, it is important to have bees up there as well.
So now, in addition to writing this book, I should say the reason that you wrote it, I know, is you're actually an expert on this topic of rooftop agriculture. So it sounds like it's not just a thing that happens in, you know, Brooklyn or downtown Philly, but it's sweeping in the nation?
Yes, that's true. It's happening all over. And in Canada as well. It's pretty popular in certain cities around North America. And Chicago is probably the closest city to you that's really invested in rooftop agriculture right now.
That's neat. Well, you'll have to come visit our botanical garden. We've got a couple of green roofs. Some of them are more than 30 years old and some are newer. But we grow a whole bunch of things up there. And I will say we also use it to try to camouflage the building so it looks more like a park than it does an urban area.
Oh, absolutely. And I should say that my day job is actually designing green roofs all around the country. So, no, it's wonderful what you're doing.
So briefly, tell us a bit about cost, because I'm sure some people listening say, well, that sounds fine, but good grief, how am I going to afford to put all this stuff on top of my garage?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a wide range of costs depending on what kind of agricultural method you're interested in. The least expensive row farms that I've heard of are about $10, even as low as $5 a square foot. Now, if you go with that route, you have to keep in mind that it may not last as long as you'd like it to. So what I tell people is that if you're interested in a rooftop row farm that's going to last for the long term, it's probably going to cost you between $15 and $25 a square foot. The other extreme would be a greenhouse hydroponic operation, which can cost upwards of about $70 a square foot from rooftops that I've seen.
But both options are viable and within reason, because unless you're a big operation, most people wouldn't build a great big greenhouse. They might build one that's reasonable enough for one or two people to run. So I think either operation can work. We have both at our zoo, and they certainly work well and on a bigger scale. I know in your book you cover some actually very, very big rooftop sort of agricultural efforts, not just small gardens. But both are good and both provide healthy local food. So, Lauren Mandel, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
My guest has been Lauren Mandel, author of the new book, Eat Up, The Inside Scoop on Rooftop Agriculture. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.